This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. At a conference this week, former presidential candidate, state secretary, and First Lady Hillary Clinton continued her post-election life, giving her candid opinions about what transpired last year. Clinton said that any Russian interference was, quote, guided by Americans, and that American voters were, quote, targeted with this false information. In a moment of self-reflection, she said, I take responsibility for every decision I made, but that's not why I lost. The Democratic Party and Clinton have placed great importance on the ongoing investigation of the Trump administration's communications with Russian actors. Former FBI Director James Comey will testify at an upcoming Senate hearing, even as Trump's own son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, has now been named as a, quote, person of interest in the investigation. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin just dropped a massive hint about Russian hackers who may have interfered in the election process. Putin called hackers, quote, patriotically minded and, quote, free people, just like artists. Joining me to help put it all in perspective is Kevin Gostola. He's managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast, Unauthorized Disclosure, and he's a frequent guest on our program. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
So first, before we get into what Clinton specifically said and what the investigation is all about, what do you make of the sort of new post-election Clinton? She seems to sort of have the sense of she has nothing to lose. She's speaking very freely. She's speaking her mind, and she isn't shying away from criticizing Trump or even the DNC.
Hillary's bluntness does appear to be a shift, but I also would caution because it seems that what she's saying is a part of her own alternative reality that she's crafting. And, you know, Democrats, progressives, liberals have talked about Donald Trump being a post-truth president. But in fact, it would seem that Hillary is creating this own reality of her own, and that's something that we should deal with because we're not really confronting the reality of what happened with the 2016 election.
We've heard many different explanations. There are sort of two issues. One is that it was Russians who hacked into the DNC's, into the campaign servers and released material to WikiLeaks. And then separately, the Trump administration was colluding with the Russian government. Of course, in terms of the WikiLeaks revelations, there was nothing nothing fake that was created. I mean, the emails spoke for themselves. And that's something that the Democrats just don't seem to want to address. Hillary, there have been so many different explanations given as to why Clinton lost. What do you make of the things that she has said? She said, I take full responsibility for my actions, for my decisions. But has she actually said what those were? Has she even articulated the mistakes that she made?
I don't think that she is owning the mistakes that she made because they're crafting this narrative that gives them the ability to not face the incompetence on the part of her operation or on the part of the Democratic National Committee in general. I think what's remarkable is there's a part of this interview for this conference where she talks about how the data operation for the DNC was completely inept. She thought that the DNC operations were bankrupt and she had to put all this money into it to make it work. And she's really bashing all the people and blaming them for the problems with not winning Wisconsin, Michigan, and these other states like Pennsylvania that were critical. And in fact, the former chief of data science at the DNC responded on Twitter to Hillary Clinton and said that that's just not true. We never had models that showed that Wisconsin or Michigan were safe states, which is something that the Clinton campaign has maintained, that they thought they were going to win those states. And so I raise this because it seems like she herself is telling falsehoods about the nature of what was going on internally. And so, you know, let's expand that out to why that becomes a larger issue for all of us in general. We're not focusing on the things that got in the way of winning this election. And so I don't see how movements or even just Democratic politicians in general can claim to have learned from 2016 and move on and actually win elections in 2018 as people are gearing up to do when they aren't facing up to the fact that it's really Hillary Clinton's fault that she didn't win the election.
And she's quite confident that the Democrats will win in 2018, certainly remains to be seen. And you're right, it was quite surprising that she went after the DNC. I don't think anybody expected that. Even the interviewer was sort of surprised when she seemed to make the case that she came into a campaign that was utterly unprepared to handle this election, whereas Trump came into the RNC that was very well equipped to carry him through into the election. Let's actually play a clip of one of the moments during her interview where she talked about the Russian interference without actually identifying it that way. Here's Hillary Clinton at the CODE conference earlier this week.
I take responsibility for every decision I made, but that's not why I lost. So I think it's important that we learn the real lessons from this last campaign, because the forces that we are up against are not just interested in influencing our elections and our politics. They're going after our economy, and they're going after our unity as a nation.
Hillary Clinton basically saying the real lesson to be learned from this past election was the forces, quote unquote, forces that interfered in the election that are going after our economy and our unity. So, Kevin, what do you make of this, particularly given that Hillary Clinton really didn't do enough to assuage people that her economic policies were going to be any more progressive than Obama's?
She barely ran a campaign that spoke to the material conditions that people were living in, the kind of conditions which Donald Trump was taking advantage of. And he was feeding people xenophobia. He was feeding people racism. He was feeding people fear of the other just to play off the fact that they were, you know, in these conditions and trying to whip these people up into voting for him over Hillary. And she was not doing a good job of addressing this. And we know this to be the case because she ran against Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary and was beaten in Wisconsin and beaten in Michigan. And they knew that she had a frailty to her campaign. But I also want to really highlight this bizarre claim, this bizarre thing that Hillary Clinton really focused in on during the interview, which is that in Wisconsin, there were Google searches for the Podesta emails, and it was one of the states, or possibly the state, with the highest interest in the Podesta emails, and this is what really affected her in being able to turn out voters. And that's simply not born out of any facts. There is this one data firm called Estately that I wrote about recently. I published this at Shadowproof, and it pointed to the searches that were going on state by state and looked, and Wisconsin, the one that they came out with as the top thing was Freedom Caucus. And there were other states that were interested in the Podesta emails, but there is no evidence whatsoever that she was impacted because people were looking at Podesta emails in Wisconsin and didn't want to vote for her. And she maintains that this is exactly why she isn't president today.
I mean, it's again the content of those emails that may have, helped people make up their minds about Hillary or really confirm their opinions about Hillary Clinton. And she's never taken to heart the criticisms of people based on what was revealed in those emails, just the manner in which it was revealed or the fact that it was revealed at all. Let's talk about the investment that the Democrats and the Clinton and Clintons seem to have in the Russia story. The fact that there's an outside force that has tried to interfere with our election, and that is the main reason why we have, you know, this idiot in chief rather than the level-headed, sane Clinton. It's very convenient, right, to blame Russia because then it obscures any fault of your own.
Exactly. This is the narrative that they would prefer because then they don't have to move in the direction of adopting the kind of politics that have been popularized by Bernie Sanders, the kind of politics that require you to question capitalism, the kind of politics that require you to abandon the politics where you allow for dark money to fund your campaigns in the same way that Republicans are funded, the ways in which you launder funds through DNC state parties and do things that skirt around campaign finance rules because it's beneficial to your campaign, and then you turn around and at the same time and complain about people like Sheldon Adelson or others like the Koch brothers funding the Republican Party when in fact you're actually taking advantage of that same system. They don't want to change this. They don't want to move towards single-payer healthcare. They don't want to incorporate the $15 living wage that Bernie popularized, and she made a big deal. It's actually revealed in the Podesta emails that they wanted to find ways that they could actually back the SEIU campaign for a living wage of $15, without actually saying they wanted the living wage to be $15 in the country or in states, because they didn't want to get tied to a dollar amount. And so this is really what it is that because they don't want to go towards this politics, they'd rather paint Hillary Clinton as this victim of this conspiracy that was coming from Russia with Trump aides working together. And it's not to say that there wasn't anything going on. There was definitely something going on, but like any conspiracy that gets woven, there's just a kernel of truth, and then they manipulate it and grossly exaggerate it into something that becomes a false narrative.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not as though there's nothing going on between Russia and the Trump administration. Clearly, there have been talks happening between members of Trump's cabinet before he was inaugurated. We know that people have lied to try to cover up the fact that there were talks happening. We now know that Jared Kushner himself revealed that he was trying to open up a secret back channel with Russia, none of which is necessarily a huge problem, except that they lied about it happening, which makes one more suspicious. But if one actually digs deep into it, does that necessarily mean that Russia installed Trump in the White House?
Yeah, and I have to confess that these are questions that I can't answer. There's a lot that we still need to learn about the extent of this, but what I am willing to give in and concede to is there's something that the Trump administration doesn't want people to know. There's clearly been efforts on the part of the Trump administration to obstruct processes that are supposed to be able to unfold where you can investigate this type of thing. We actually know, because of the Comey memo and the reports around that he asked Vice President Mike Pence and also Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, to leave the room so he could tell Comey to no longer pursue the investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. So it's a big deal, but
it seems like Trump is his own worst enemy, and that every action that he and some of his colleagues take seem to invite scrutiny.
Yes. I think he's making it worse than it might be, but I also would say that we probably have a division here, potentially between, the way I'll put it is, capitalists and the people who see this country as being a superpower. We've got a difference over how America should advance its superpower in the world, and then you've got Trump, who's aligned with businessmen, saying, really, we would like to be able to have dealings in Russia without being constrained by these sanctions that you've put in place because you say this is good for American dominance in the world, or it's good for our image to impose these sorts of restrictions on commerce in Russia. I mean, we need to remember that Rex Tillerson is the Secretary of State, former ExxonMobil CEO, and this was someone who was scrutinized when he was nominated for his dealings in Russia. And he's particularly cool, I believe, to the idea of sanctions around human rights in Russia. And so, and the other thing that's just amazing is you see everyone waxing on about how you can't cozy up to dictators and do this and that. Meanwhile, we know that Hillary Clinton and Democrats have had close dealings with not only Saudi Arabia, but we've also had cozy dealings with Gulf countries that are aligned and involved in doing tremendous damage and causing tremendous disasters and inflicting poverty on people in countries throughout the Middle East. And so this is something where again, back to this narrative idea, this is what's convenient for the Democrats in order to not recalibrate and act and move forward in a way that could actually benefit the 99%.
So essentially, it seems like what you're saying is that this is a battle between the center and the extreme right. Progressives almost aren't involved, and the grassroots battles for progressive ideals continue in terms of keeping the Democrats accountable and trying to stave off some of the worst impacts of Republican cruelty. If they do battle it out, depending upon which side wins, I mean, clearly, if you know, the extreme right is worse for ordinary Americans than the center, but the center is simply not good enough, right?
Although I would counter, because over this coming weekend on June 3rd, there is a March for Truth. And we have organizers from the Women's March. We have people from Move On. There are people with Daily Coast. There are clearly people with links to progressive media outfits like Mother Jones. There are people from organizations that do involve themselves in grassroots mobilization that are going to be present with this day of action around having an independent commission that investigates whether Trump is beholden to some kind of foreign power. So they're basically incorporating the whole narrative that is being pushed by Clinton and her followers and these loyal Democrats, and they're turning it into something to try to breathe some energy. And I don't know that we're actually there. And then meanwhile, you have this energy being expended in this direction rather than in other directions that are critical, such as, you know, fights for minimum wage, fights to save healthcare, fights to push for single payer, fights to ensure that we fight climate change, fights against pipelines. These are things that we really need people to be mobilizing in struggles against. And yet you have this distraction. You also have the reality on the ground, which has been spoken to and addressed by Nina Turner, a former surrogate for Bernie Sanders, a representative, a state representative from Ohio, who has spoken about how little people in these states, you know, when you go state by state, how little these people really care that the Russians have had anything to do with Trump's agenda. And it just doesn't factor. There are people who are going through poverty who really have issues they want politicians to address, and they, at the end of the day, they don't really want to see all this focus put on Vladimir Putin, because I think they know that the reason why they're in the situation they're in isn't Putin's fault. They're in the situation they're in because the Republicans and the Democrats have both failed them miserably.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for helping us put these issues into perspective. Is shadowproof.com the best place to read your writings?
Yes.
That's shadowproof.com. We'll post a link to it from our website later today. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kevin Gostola is my guest. He's managing editor of shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast, Unauthorized Disclosure. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.